come. Do you love Jesus? Because he first loved me, that's the reason we all are to love him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Happy Sabbath, everyone. That was a little rough, but thank God I made it through. I always get nervous when I'm about to sing. By the way, thank you, Bianca and Minnie, for the special music. It was great. I didn't top it by any means, but that was my attempt. I want to welcome everyone to the Wayne Church. I pray that you will receive a blessing today. It's a beautiful day outside. I pray that the weather stays like this for tomorrow, for many reasons. But I just hope that tomorrow's a beautiful day. You know, let's pray that tomorrow's weather holds up and it's just as sunny and it doesn't rain. The title of my sermon is My Mission, My Passion. By the way, I want to remind everyone about their cell phones. If any of them go off, I'm keeping them. Except the flip phones. I don't want those. So please just take a moment and make sure your phones are off. If not, they're mine. Unless they're flip phones, you can keep them. I'll make that exception. So before I begin, let's just have one quick word of prayer. If you can please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for this beautiful day you have given us, for this other day of life. We ask that you continue to bless us, to be with us, and help us with victory day by day. Lord, help us and change us, forgive us for our sins, and we pray for your spirit in our lives so we can treat everyone with love and with respect, and that you may guide us in every day, through our victories, through our problems, and that one day you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we ask for your spirit at this time, and we ask you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. If we can open up our Bibles one more time, I want to read the verse again. And you'll understand why when we move on. In the book of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Does everyone have it? Okay. And it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And we'll see why this ties into the sermon later. On today's sermon, or today, I will use similarities between Moses and Jesus to show that God's great commission to save humanity is founded in the Old Testament and magnified in the New Testament. Did anyone know that Israel was given the Great Commission? Yes? Does anyone know where it's found in the Bible? In what book? Anyone? All right, good. We're going to learn something today. So that's all right. I didn't know either, by the way. I just found it by reading. So it was magnified in the Old Testament. And I will use 4 points to lay down the foundation towards the Great Commission. So I'm going to do 4 points, and in between I'm going to stop in a couple of them. Now, before we move on, we're going to see there's a lot of similarities. Here's the basic ones. Jesus, or Moses, came out of Egypt, right? Jesus came out from where? But then he left when they were killing the babies. You know, there was a decree to kill the babies in Moses' time. There was a decree to kill the babies in Jesus' time. So Jesus and his family and Jesus, they fled to Egypt, and then they came out of Egypt. They both crossed waters. Jesus was baptized in the water. Israel crossed over through the Red Sea. What other similarities do we have? Moses was a shepherd. What else? Moses fasted for 40 days. Did anyone know that? He fasted for 40 days. Does anyone know where it's found in the Bible? Exodus? Yes. Any chapters? No? Chapter 34 and verse 28. It says that not even water, no food went into Moses' mouth. That's when he received the law the second time. Let's see. A non-slave and was a Hebrew, and Jesus was a non-slave who became a sinner. Moses led Israel to the promised land, and we can see here other similarities. So why don't you read the part of Jesus? I'll move out of the way. What does the left side, the right side say? And then Jesus leads us to the heavenly promised land. Amen? Now there's a lot more similarities, and I just kept this, some of them. And as I was reading that, I found that there was another similarity, that they had a great commission. Some religions use these similarities to claim that Jesus was just a prophet and not God himself. But Jesus himself claimed to have the authority of God. So the first point is under your authority. Moses reminded the people of God of God's authority and power. Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord your God do to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. Amen. Jesus asserted this in the New Testament to his disciples, which he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So the authority in the Old Testament, Jesus magnified in the New Testament. Also, his law. Moses gave the law to Israel. Jesus magnified the law in Matthew chapter 5. When we see Matthew chapter 5, Jesus just magnified the law. Thank you. When we see, according to the law, did Jesus ever sin? No, right? He was faithful to God's word. You see, Israel in the Old Testament was entrusted with two things, with God's law, or his word, and the Great Commission. In Jesus' time, Jesus was given two things, to be faithful to the law and to the commission. Now in 2018, Jesus is asking us to be faithful to his word and to the Great Commission. Jesus used these verses when he was being tempted or any time he needed God's power. He used Psalms 40 verse 8 where it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy will is written where? Within my heart. In Psalms 119:11, Jesus says, thy word is hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. By the way, there's a book called The Desire of Ages. It's an amazing book. It talks about the life of Jesus when he was growing up, how he used to separate himself in the wilderness and see all the beauty, and he learned all these object lessons by being outdoors. But it's a great book, and it talks a lot about this, when he would memorize scripture, and he needed it later. Jesus used the word to fight off Satan during the wilderness temptation. Jesus used the word when the Pharisees questioned him. Jesus used the word to give comfort to those who were seeking peace in their lives. Jesus used the word to reassure his disciples when doubt and fear took over their lives. Jesus used all these things to give hope and peace. He used God's word. So we found out authority. That was the first one. Then the second he gave was the law. Then the third of the same similarities is to make disciples. This is where we find something very interesting. Now, to get clearly what I wanted to convey, I used a clear word. By the way, it's a great paraphrase Bible, but I recommend you use another Bible along with it. But here we go. It says, if you keep these, by the way, Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. Find that in your Bibles, please. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. This is where Jesus gave the great commission to Israel. What book did I say? Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7 and so forth. And it says, if you keep these laws faithfully, soon the neighboring nations will see what the law can do for people. They will say to themselves, what wisdom and understanding these newcomers have. Then they'll come to visit your country, and you can talk to them about your God. And if you continue saying the clear word, it'll be like, this is the best way to teach them about God through the gospel, through the way we live in Israel, and the way they were obedient to God's law. They're going to be like, wow, this God is an amazing God. Let me learn more from them, from Israel. So God gave them a great commission, and they were supposed to spread it through the whole people. But unfortunately, they didn't spread it. They kept it to themselves. And then they lost that opportunity to share the word. But they were given that great commission. They were supposed to be the incubators in the time of the Old Testament era. They were supposed to make disciples of the Israel. They were supposed to expand it. Unfortunately, they didn't do it. Jesus, in his time, told his disciples what? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it continues. But Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18, and so on. And he gave the Great Commission in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you read chapter 4, 1 and keep on going, you'll see that he gave them that authority. Jesus calls his followers to make disciples of all the nations who will live out their lives according to God's word. The mission. Jesus was given a mission, right? Jesus gave a mission to Israel. They didn't fulfill it. Jesus had a mission. He accomplished it. While his time on earth, he's given us a mission, and we have to fulfill it in our time. You see, according to the book of Luke, chapter 4, when Jesus read the book of Isaiah out loud, what did he do after? He rolled it up, gave it back to the minister, and he sat down. Then when he read that, they were all looking at themselves like, what in the world just happened? And then Jesus says, this day, prophecy is being fulfilled in your eyes. It was like one of those mic drops, like boom. They were looking around like, what in the world just happened? He's saying, this day, prophecy is being fulfilled in your eyes. And if you read on, they actually wanted to kill him. They were going to throw him off a cliff because they were so enraged that he was proclaiming to be God. He had the same power. That's why I say The Desire of Ages is a perfect book. It says that one of his angels came and just like swooped them away from right when they were about to throw him off the cliff. He had the commission, but was he faithful to God's word? Was he faithful to his mission? How did he accomplish this mission? If we open up our Bibles to the book of Matthew 4:23, the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew 4, verse 23. I didn't put all the verses on the screen so you can use your Bibles on purpose. Matthew chapter 4, and verse 23. And the Bible says, and Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kind of sicknesses and all kind of diseases among the people. Jesus had a three-prong approach, which were, first one? Yes? Okay? And healing. Preach, teach, and heal. Those were Jesus' approach to reach the masses. He knew he can reach certain people with certain tactics, with certain approaches that he couldn't reach others. And he used it wisely. In Isaiah 1:17, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. We tend to memorize Isaiah 1:18 where it says, come, let us reason together. But sometimes we just memorize certain verses. But this one is very powerful. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17. And this is talking about ourselves, how we treat others, or how we should treat others. It says, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. You see, that was Jesus' mission on earth. He was seen with the rejects, with the outcasts. Even his own disciples were questioning him. His followers were like, why are you hanging out with those people? Like, don't you know, who they are? When he was with the tax collector, they're like, hi, Jesus, sorry to bother you, but do you know who this guy is? When he was with Zacchaeus, they were like, Jesus, I don't know if you know, but do you know what Zacchaeus does? He robs from his own people. He's getting rich off his own people. When he was with Mary Magdalene, when she washed their feet, they were like, Jesus, sorry, but do you know she's like a prostitute? Do you know that? And he was like, he was seeking to save those that were lost. When Jesus said, I don't come to heal those that don't need healing, he says, I come for those. He came for the oppressed. He came for the rejects. He came for the outcasts. He comes for us. And that same approach should be in our minds and in our hearts. The same approach Jesus had to preach, to teach, and to heal, that's our approach to reach people through his Spirit. You see, through inspiration, we have the gift or the health message to reach people. I know the health ministry department is doing a great job of doing nature walks and doing chats about health and about temperance and all these things. We can reach people because we can reach them in different ways. We can help people reverse sicknesses, reverse diseases, just by simple steps of and being faithful to God's word. You see, if we do all these things, they're great. But if we don't, by God's grace and through his Spirit, if we don't reach them to Jesus, we just made them live longer and that's it. That's not our goal. Our goal is not just to have people live longer, because if Jesus doesn't come, we're going to die anyway. Newsflash, we're going to die eventually. So if Christ comes before that, then we won't. But if he doesn't, we will die. So we can't just make, healthy sinners live longer. We have to point them to Jesus, just like Jesus did. That is our goal. My question is, do we have the same passion? Do we have that same commitment that Jesus had? And I'm going to talk about how to get along with others in a minute. But before that, I wanted to show a slide. And this happened a couple of years ago. There's many instances of that we can talk about in our lives, how we reached other people, how we witnessed. And this just so happened, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. My wife and I, sorry, Layla, I should have asked you earlier. There was a story when we went to Boston. I don't know if you remember. We went to Boston, and her son, Nelson, I know a lot of you know him as Alan, he went along. And then after the service, it was a great service, Dama teamed up with Layla, and I teamed up with Nelson. I'm like, I'm the older, I'm going to teach him, watch this, like Superman. So then they gave us literature to hand out, so we were ready to walk in the neighborhood, and just Nelson and I. So I was trying, he was younger, he was much younger than me, obviously. So I was trying to, strike up a conversation with a little kid. I think he was a young teenager, even younger. Anyway, we were walking in the neighborhood. They told us, okay, these are your streets. All right, go. So we're going, and then we're outside of a barbershop. And then Nelson's like, so what are you waiting for? I'm like, I don't know. I'm nervous. I don't want to go in. I was trying to delay going in because I always get this fear. When I'm up here, I'm fine. But when it's one-on-one, I get so nervous. I don't know why. It's hard for me to even get some words out. But so I was with Nelson, and we were outside the barbershop. And then Nelson's like, but we already prayed. What are you afraid of? And then it dawned on me. I'm like, he is so right. We already had prayed before we left. We had a nice, kind of like a little charge kind of thing to get us pumped up. And that only worked till I got to the door. And so Nelson, like I said again, he's like, but we prayed already. You know, what are you afraid of? So then we're like, yeah, you're right. So then I walked in with him and we started handing out the little flyers, like the glow tracks or the sign of the times. We started handing them out inside and we're like, oh, can we even leave some? They were so happy. They were so nice. And then after, I'm like, oh my God. You know, it just like, it's kind of like after I sing, it just, all the stress goes away. And then we just had more instances like that. It was great. But we have to remember that God has given us all that power. He already promised it us before in Matthew. So, you know, it's not easy to witness. We can witness different ways. Many ways. We can see just like Jesus. Jesus witnessed by preaching, by teaching. You know, we have great opportunities in the church. We teach the word of God during Sabbath school. And, you know, we should invite our friends to that. And during, you know, other studies, we learn, we teach health message, cooking classes, all these things, exercise classes. Those are great ideas to reach other people. And we have that opportunity to reach others. There's another example that I wanted to do, to use, and I think it's great. And it's found in the Book of Education, page 142. And it says, God has given in His Word a picture of a prosperous man. One whose life was in the truest sense a success. A man who both heaven and earth delighted to honor. I used it in kind of like in a little memory of my dad when he passed away. And I think it was a great example of, at least to me, my dad was a best example of someone who lived the mission. He gave his time for the church. He gave his money. He gave pretty much his whole life. At work, when anyone needed shoes, he would try and find shoes. If anyone needed to find an apartment, he would try his hardest to find an apartment. It was a small town where we grew up. I don't know if anyone knows the town of Haverstraw, but that's where I grew up for about 20-something years. And everyone in the it was a small town, so everyone knew my dad as Mexico, Mexico in Spanish. That was his nickname. Everyone knew him because he was always around. And but he wouldn't stop preaching or teaching just in church setting. He would visit his coworkers, and he would reach out to the neighborhood. He would always I don't know if you guys remember the in-gathering. You know, now I know your age. Those of you that remember in-gathering, well, now I know everyone's age. Because I did it as a kid with the little can and stuff. And my dad would go every year. He would go out with the pastor and go to all the shops and, people from his work. And that's why I believe, and, you know, that's why I say that I want to be like my dad. You know, I want to be that. I know I struggle sometimes, and we should be the first ones to visit our church family when they're in the hospital, when they're home. We should be the first ones when they're at home and they're not feeling well, or, you know, they're having problems or they need prayer. It should be us. You know, we should be that example, not only to our church family, but to those outside of our church family, to our coworkers, to our friends. And wouldn't it be nice if we can use that quote for our lives at the end of our lives? Wouldn't that be great? Where it says, a man who both heaven and earth delight to honor. You know, that would be great for each and every one of our lives at the end of our lives, saying, you know what? You guys did a great job. I think that would be amazing for each and every one of us. And, all right, let's move on before I start getting emotional. But now I made it, which is good. Praise God. Nobody wants to see a grown man cry, right? Philippians 2, verse 3. Sorry, I jumped too fast. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambitions or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Each of you, verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. How do we treat others in church? How do we carry ourselves in church? How do we do it? How is our conversation while in church? And the last question, don't answer any of these. Are we really in church while at church? Sometimes we're just here to be here, but we're not here, even though we're here. Let that sink in, you know. Don't answer that, by the way. How do we treat others? Colossians 4, verse 6, and I love this Bible verse. So let's look up at our Bibles, Colossians 4, verse 6. Colossians is in the New Testament, after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you'll find. After Romans, you'll do Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You know, someone once told me, General Electric Power Company, and I never forgot it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company. Long time ago. But it worked. I haven't forgotten it since. Let's look up, what Bible did I say? What verse? Colossians 4 and verse 6. Bless you. The Word of God says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with what? With salt, that you may know how to ought to answer each other. You know where I work? I always tell people, because I work on there's three floors where I work. So there's a fifth floor, there's a restaurant, the sixth floor, there's a little cafe, and then another floor, there's a production kitchen. So in the sixth floor, it's more like burgers and fries and stuff. And we just hired a new person. I go, do me a favor. Make sure there's always at least one fry there for me, please, when I come and stop by and see how you're doing, because that's my weakness. But I go, just do me a favor. When you put salt, it has to be when the fry comes out of the fryer. Do you know why? It sticks. Yes. Try putting a fry in a dry piece of fry. It'll bounce right off. So that's why the Bible says use some salt, right, to give food a little flavor. Try eating food without salt. Usually if people have a sickness, I understand that. Please. I understand if you have high blood pressure and things like that, you shouldn't have salt or any salt, right? Right? No salt when you have high blood pressure? No, low salt, yeah. But just salt, what does it do to food? It enhances the flavor of the food. The food has flavor, but it enhances a little bit. Sometimes you can go overboard. But the Word of God says, may your words be with a little salt, right? With grace, with salt. This is how we should treat others, with respect, with love, with kindness. And let's be careful with what we say and how we say things. If our food is overly salty, who's going to eat it? No one. If it has no salt, who's going to eat it? No, I won't. So please, just with our speech, the way we treat others, the way we are at work, at school, wherever we are, let our speech be with what? With salt. With grace. With a little salt. Now we can read this quote in Ellen White's book. By the way, it's not her book. It's a compilation. It's actually out of print. So I don't know why I'm presenting it to you. But you can try and get it online. They sell it at Amazon and other websites. It's called How to Get Along with Others. I recommend we all read this book. Now, I can I can lend it out, but you better give it back to me. Because that's the only copy I have. So if you want to just see me at the end, but you have to give it back. You have to leave a deposit. Because these things are out of print. And this quote says, the very act of looking for evil in others develops evil in those who look. By dwelling upon the faults of others, we are changed into the same image. God gave her a message, and that message was given to us. We have to treat others with respect, with love, by the way we speak, by the way we act, by the way we behave and do certain things in our lives. We have to be careful. In the book of Micah, verse 6, and chapter 6 and verse 8, the guy was wearing it, the pastor was wearing it in his shirt when he was promoting the youth in Wayne, the week. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It's not verse 8, sorry. Where it says to love justly, do goodly, walk humbly before. 6:8? Oh, I was looking at chapter 5, that's why. He has shown you, O man, what is good, And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? In Romans 12, verse 18, it says, try your hardest to live peaceably with all men. You see, this is God's mandate to us. Let's live in harmony with others. We have to imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, imitate Christ. Imitate me just as imitate Christ. That's what Paul was saying. And that's what we should do. This is how we should treat others. By looking at Jesus, we change to his image. Now, we know Israel did not fulfill the mission. Did they have that same passion? What do you think? I think they had the same passion, but they lost it. I'm truly convinced that they had the passion, but they lost it. Can we lose that passion? Right? You see, if we don't learn from the past, we are bound to repeat it. We are bound to repeat it. In the book of Matthew, now, do you want to hear this to you at the end of your life when Jesus returns? Matthew 25:42, where it says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And they too will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry? The Bible sometimes doesn't give the word. We have to say it the way the people are saying it. Like they're almost screaming this, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then the king will answer, truly I tell you, whatever you did not for the one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Then the king will answer, truly I tell you, whatever you did not for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Who wants to hear that said to them? No one, right? No one. Finally, let's consider the promise that Jesus gives. Moses gave a promise. It says, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And Jesus says, what? And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is a promise Jesus is giving us. He will give us his spirit to fulfill the mission. This is in Life Sketches, page 196. It says, we have nothing to fear for the future, except we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. Are we learning what happened to ancient Israel? They were giving his word, which they were faithful to his word. They stretched it just a little bit, you know, adding all these things to it. They were given a mission. They didn't fulfill it, right? Jesus was faithful to the word and to the mission, and now us. He's given us his word. Are we going to be faithful to it? It's up to us. And he gave us a mission. Are we going to be faithful to that mission? We have all the tools. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's word. And we have all these other tools in hand that they didn't have that time. I mean, we have phones. Can you try and explain to Moses that you can send a text? Do you know what I mean? We have so much information and so much technology. Not that I believe that they were smarter back then, by the way. Oh yes, you know why? Because God made us perfect. That's why we were living 969 years, and then we just started going backwards. You know, people say we came from the ape and we're getting smarter. We're actually getting dumber, for real. Sorry, I'm getting dumber, not you. I am. He made us perfect at the beginning, Adam and Eve, you know, Methuselah, Noah. Then it started declining. They started getting unwiser, we'll use that word, you know, and into the decline. We're not getting any smarter. We think we're smart because we have phones and planes and trains and automobiles and all that. No, we're actually going this way, you know. So we need God's help. We need God's grace. So even though Moses didn't have a phone, we still have the Spirit, the same Spirit that Moses had and everyone else had of ancient Israel. So let's go back to the sermon. Let's tie all this thing up. Jesus says, or Sister White says, we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past. You see, we have to remember his teaching, not just the way he has led us. It says, and his teaching in our past. Jesus has given us marching orders, each and every one of us. He has given us our marching orders to love his word and to love others. Let us make his mission my passion, your passion, our passion. He can give us that desire to share to others. If we don't have that desire, let's ask for the desire. For in the book of Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. There's another verse that says, you have not because you ask not, because you ask amiss. So you don't have because you don't ask. If we ask for his spirit, he will give us his spirit. Just remember in Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority on heaven and on earth is given to me, and he gives it to us. We have that power to fulfill, to be faithful to his word and to fulfill the mission. Don't you want to hear these words by Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant? Yes? Wouldn't that be the best thing? At the end of your life, to someone say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of what? The Lord. Of the Lord. To spend eternity with him, forever, and everyone else. You know, that's my desire for you, for each and every one of you. Let's be faithful to God's word. Let's be faithful to his mission. So that his mission could be what? My passion, our passion. And as we leave here, I just want to read these verses, this part of the song. By the way, we're changing our closing song. I'm like, we can't not sing this song. He says, oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy. All the favor of the Father in his name we may enjoy. Take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. Whether it's at work, at home, at play, wherever you are, take the name of Jesus with you. And let's share this word, because this world is wrapping up real close. That's my desire for each and every one of us today. Thank you. Let's open up our hymnals to 474, number 474. And when you have it, just please.